This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Text to Lovers. Written by Kay Webster and J.D. Holyfield. Performed by Ava Erickson and Jacob Morgan.
Chapter 1. Danny. The start of nothing good.
That two-timing low-life son of a bitch.
Andy, my best friend since grade school, yells while I take the double shot of tequila she insisted I drink and slam it. The burn traveling down my throat causes my eyes to water, but I raise my hand and wave down the bartender to get a refill.
Danny, I swear it, girl, I told you to dump his sorry ass a long time ago. I knew he wasn't doing you right.
I turn to her and nod my response, because I'm fighting not to cry. And if I try speaking, I will most definitely break down and do so.
Honey, say something. You haven't said a word in the last 30 minutes, and it's starting to worry me.
And being worried is a fair assessment.
More tequila, please, I say, my voice quivering. I can't believe Daryl did this to me.
37 minutes ago, I walked, more like got dragged by Andy, into Bender's Bar, a local hangout in our small town of Bensonville, North Carolina, because Andy got a tip-off from a girlfriend, which led to me catching my cheating jerk of a boyfriend with his so-called neighbor. And I'm sure you can figure out that they were doing way more than being just neighborly. Catching him with his tongue down her throat was the first sign that I was right. He was a cheating jerk. But the closer I got, the better I was able to see the second sign, the shiny new ring on her finger that was practically blinding me. 35 minutes ago, I set the record for how fast a girl could make a guy scream for mercy, because I beat the living crap out of him. Okay, so I take that back. I just stood there in shock. Andy, the one with the backbone and stiff tongue of our friendship, did the honors for me. While I stood there like the polite person I was raised to be, staring at my boyfriend, with Stacy, his we're just friends neighbor, Andy yelled and called him every low-life name in the book. Every few purse whacks, I attempted to open my mouth and say something, but then that ring would flash in my peripheral vision and I would lose my backbone to fight. Because not only was he cheating on me, he apparently just proposed as well. And I know what you're all thinking. This is for the best. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Get rid of him. And I would also say that I agree. Daryl had to go. I may have loved him, but he was no good. So I did what any girl would do and avenged my honor, in my head, of course. Because with the way I was raised, I couldn't be rude to a fly. Having spent my entire life hiding behind my timid shell, I allowed him to choose his new fiancé over me. He didn't try and plead with me that I saw it all wrong. Knowing me, he could have told me she was choking and he was just offering her CPR and I would have believed him. Because that's the person I am. The one everyone takes advantage of. But no, with the help of a bouncer, he escorted his future bride out. That future bride not being me. And as he passed me, he told me we were over and to never contact him again. You know what I said? Okay. Nearly a year of my life of devotion and poof, gone. I would have said more, but Andy was taking center stage, tossing salt and pepper shakers at his back, yelling things her mother would keel over in her grave about if she heard come out of her mouth. The second the door shut behind them, Andy was grabbing my phone and deleting his number.
He won't have to worry about you calling him, that two-pump, no-good cheating asshole.
She handed me back my phone and I numbly took it, with one thought in mind. Just last week, he convinced me to fork up most of my savings for a loan he needed help on. Yeah. I just gave my cheating now ex-boyfriend his down payment, which I'm pretty sure went to that ring. God, I'm such an idiot.
Another round. Come on, we're dying of soberness here.
Andy yells across the bar to the tattooed brute working behind the counter.
I swear, we should go find him and egg his car. No, wait, baloney his car. I hear that takes the pain off.
I should be agreeing with her, trying to muster up any sort of revenge, but I can't. I'm sitting here numbly thinking that would not be nice, and I would feel bad for ruining his car. God, when did I become such a pushover? The bartender finally looks our way, and his eyes catch mine. The way he's staring me down makes me uncomfortable. Maybe it's because he looks like he wants to eat me, but not in a good way. More like eat me up and spit me out. He makes his way over to us.
Since my only job is to service you two ladies, what can I get you?
He wipes his hands off on a bar towel, tossing it over his shoulder. I notice his thick arms, covered in a colorful array of tattoos. His hair is dark and pulled back into a ponytail as he stretches his arms across his chest. I'm so sorry, you're right. Please, whenever you're ready, we would... Andy cuts me off. No, fuck that. Yes, we would like two more double shots of tequila, chilled, pronto, she demands and then slaps her hand on the bar. My eyes widen at her bold delivery. I turn to the bartender. I'm sorry, please, just whenever... Danny? For real, stop being so fucking nice. I'm just being polite. He's kind enough to serve... Oh my God, Danny, it's his job to serve us. She pauses to make eye contact with the bartender. No offense, she says, turning back to me. See, this is why people take advantage of you. You're too damn nice. I am not. I lie because I've been told how nice I am my whole life. Can you let my dogs out, cover my shift, pick up the bill? Thanks, you're so nice. Danny, listen. Daryl's an asshole. You did everything for him and he still cheated on you. With his neighbor. Her words are harsh but true. I did do everything for him. Cleaned his condo, picked up his dry cleaning, cooked his neighbor food while she was sick and he was out of town on business. You need to stop letting people walk all over you. You need to start standing up for yourself. Not realizing the bartender left, I'm startled when he returns, placing two shot glasses in front of us. I don't think I should drink anymore, I start to say, but Andy sticks her hand over my mouth.
You need to do just that. Fuck him! Let it out, girl. I know you're upset. I also know you're trying to be nice and probably wondering if he still needs his shirts pressed for Monday.
My lower lip begins to quiver, because I was thinking just that. He has important staff meetings on Mondays, and it's critical he looks...
Stop!
I jump out of my seat. I turn to Andy, who is pushing the shot glass into my hand. Take this, or I call your mother and tell her you had a boy in your room in high school, and he almost got to second base under her roof. Oh my God, she wouldn't. If you're asking whether or not I'd do it, then the answer is yes, I would. Now drink. She clinks my glass, swishing the liquid. My parents were very religious when I was growing up, and if they had their way, I'd be 90 before allowing a boy to hold my hand. So needless to say, my sexual experiences and dating record were minuscule. If it wasn't for Andy and her sweet, scandalous smile, my parents probably would have never believed we were studying at her house instead of at the high school keg parties, which I didn't drink at, because I wasn't 21. Okay, oh my God, I'm not calling your mother, but take it now. With a groan, I throw the shot back, letting the liquid once again burn. The taste is something that belongs in a gas tank, not a human body. I start to choke on the aftertaste when the bartender hands me a lime.
Suck on this, he says.
Looking back at him confused, I see Andy already shoving it in her mouth, so I follow suit. The citrus assault mocks the burn and actually dilutes the awful taste. Thank you, I reply, picking up a napkin and wiping my lips. When I grab for my wallet, he sticks his hand up and shakes his head.
Nah, it's on the house. Sounds like you deserve it.
I couldn't possibly accept.
Your friend's right. You're too nice. You need to toughen up.
My mouth drops open. Even a complete stranger is telling me I'm a total pushover.
Some guy do you wrong?
He questions, his face hardening a bit. Did he ever...
Her cheating asshole of a boyfriend just got caught, and not only did he get caught, but proposed to another girl, Andy shouts in disgust.
Gee, thanks, best friend. Now I look like a complete fool to this stranger.
That why you look like your puppy just died?
He wears a look of pity. I bring my hands to my face.
I do not look like that.
Babe, you look sad as shit, besides the flush in your cheeks from the tequila.
I do feel a little warmer. I admit, I don't ever drink. It was just another thing my parents frowned upon. I bring my eyes back to the bartender, and with renewed boldness, I ask, "What would you do if you were me?" His lips draw up on one side while mischief flickers in his eyes.
Babe, a good-looking gal like yourself, I'd get even.
I gasp. Get even? I don't even know what that means.
The bartender leans forward, his large frame close. Andy and I both lean toward him, as if he's about to tell us a huge secret.
Get mean, get ugly, tell him you've had better, already getting better. Shit, send him pics of your tits, tell him he ain't gonna ever suck on those fine-ass nips again.
We both gasp at his words.
God, that's a great idea.
Andy sighs while I punch her in her side, gently, of course. Heart would be rude.
I cannot do that.
Yes, you can. That's Andy and the bartender in unison. I look to the bartender, and he's lifting a bottle above the bar, refilling our shots.
You can do it. I'll help give you the courage, darling.
I tell them both I can't. That's just not me. I would prefer to lick my wounds in private and move on. Daryl cheated on me. He felt our 8-month relationship wasn't good enough, so he had to dishonor me and what we had. And then use me and my kindness to sucker me into loaning him almost $10,000. It's strange how alcohol really does fuel the anger secretly living inside us all. I begin to think about all the things I wanted to do with that money. How hard I saved. All the trips, lunches, and clothes I passed on so I could put that extra money in my savings. Gone. All because some no-good jerk scammed me and bought his new girlfriend a ring.
Uh-oh. She's getting quiet again. Earth to Danny.
I paid for that ring, I blurt out, the liquor kicking in. I turn to Andy, then to our new friend.
The neighbor, her ring, my money.
What do you mean, your money?
That's Andy.
My money. Daryl asked me last week to loan him $10,000, and I did.
Andy's mouth drops so far down, I feel it would only be the nice thing to do and pick it up. I reach out, shutting her mouth for her, and turn to our friend.
True story,
I say as I nod, and accidentally burp.
Ew.
That son of a bitch. He is not getting away with this, my best friend growls.
Well, he kinda already has, and looks like she said yes.
I giggle, covering my mouth, shocked at my out-of-nowhere humor.
Danny, give me your phone.
She reaches out and grabs it before I even offer it to her. Scrolling through my contacts, she mutters,
Shit, what's his number? I forgot I deleted his ass.
Why? I question. What are you going to do?
I'm going to text him and tell him what a small fucking penis he has and that you hope it falls off or that he gets attacked by a wild bear who rips his legs off.
I don't know why, but I start laughing. Like, hard. What's wrong with me? The tequila has definitely kicked in. I grab for my phone and fumble with it, trying to get it unlocked.
Listen, this is my problem. I'll text him.
I open up the phone and go into my contacts. I go to dial his number.
1-555-657-43. And no, that's not it. Backspace. 1-555-657-53. No, shoot, that's not it. Backspace.
Dude, you're okay?
Yeah, I just didn't have his number memorized. I'm trying to... 1-555-657-5343. There, that's him.
Daryl Winston, cheating jerk of the century. I smile, looking at my audience.
Now, what do I say?
I sit there for a solid 5 minutes listening to them both shoot out ideas. All words that they should be ashamed of having come out of their mouths. I never understood the whole, let's get vulgar talk. Strangely, though, they're convincing me that it is 100% the way to go.
Okay, so this sounds okay, right?
I put my phone up to my eyeballs because it's easier to read this way.
You ass-sucking motherfucker.
I can't go any further without laughing. My mother would wash my mouth out with soap if she heard me.
Okay, sorry. You ass-sucking motherfucker. You made a big mistake today. No one breaks up with me.
They both take it in, their thinking faces in full effect.
I mean, it's good, Andy says, tapping her chin with her finger. Could be better, but oh well, send it.
I turn to Brett, who we learned during our conversation was the bartender's name.
Short and sweet, babe. Send it.
I nod to them both, and without another thought, I press send. And then I panic, grabbing for my phone, hoping it was a bad dream, and I really didn't just send such a horrible message to my ex. I feel like I'm going to be sick. This is not me. I may be hurt, and he may have just royally taken advantage of me, my kindness, and my heart, but it doesn't give me the right to lower myself to his standards. I put my phone down, waiting for the hurtful response I'm going to get. 5 minutes pass, then 10, and still nothing. After everything I gave him, he can't even respond to a text message? My legs begin to tap under the bar, and I'm feeling anger brewing in my belly, encouraged by the fearless new inhabitant called Tequila. Brett pours another shot, and although I know I don't need any more, I take it. How dare he? I demand, picking up my phone and typing in one of the many messages we rehearsed. Me. You are horrible in bed. I get more pleasure fingering myself than with your small dick. There's no way he won't reply to that one. But another 5 minutes goes by and nothing. My anger is getting the best of me, and before I know it, I'm shooting off message after message like a madwoman. Me. You suck cock, and I'm telling everyone. Man, your hairline is so far back, archaeologists couldn't find it. Andy snorts over my shoulder. Jump off a bridge, you fat fucker. By the last text message, I've lost all grasp on reality and get the hint that he isn't going to reply. I make sure to resave his contact so I don't forget it again. As the tequila swishes in my belly, I text him one last drunken time. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Ding. Cheating asshole.
Did you just quote The Princess Bride?
Oh my god, I yell. He finally messages me back, and this is what he replies with? Andy grabs my phone from my hands and reads the message. What the fuck? I know. No, I mean, what the fuck does that mean? You typed a quote from a movie? I mean, well, yeah, why not? Seemed fitting, I say. Oh well, we have his attention. Keep going. Taking my phone back, I go in order of the questions we went over. Why is your dick so small and useless?
Cheating asshole. I don't think it's small at all. I've always been voted top in my class.
What a conceited ass. Well, it did nothing for me.
Cheating asshole. Maybe it's because I would have had to be present to use it on you.
Oh, now he's acting like he was never mentally there when we had sex. The nerve. Your taint smells like horseshit.
That text was brought to you by Andy, who snatched my phone from my hands. Cheating asshole. Maybe you should come over and offer me a redo.
When hell freezes over. My vulgar mouth seems to have taken over. This unfamiliar person who has taken over my body starts typing the next message before even consulting with me. No thanks. And for the record, I suck great dick. You're going to regret breaking up with me. Cheating asshole.
Sounds like you do. Again, come over. Put your mouth where your words are.
Just as I'm typing my rebuttal, another text comes through. Pulling the phone closer, I read the message from another number. 1-555-657-5363. 1-555-657-5363.
I want the key you have to my place back.
It takes a few seconds for it to register. And when it does, I freeze. Holy shit. I stare at my phone. I go back to the number I've been texting, and then back to the number that just came through. Not Daryl. And then Daryl. Oh my god. I typed in the wrong number. What? Andy yelps, leaning over, looking at my screen. Well, then who the hell have we been talking to?
Chapter 2. Ram. As you wish. The Princess Bride. Sometimes inspiration strikes in the simplest of ways. Last night, after getting an accidental reaming by a stranger and having her, I'm assuming it was a her, quote The Princess Bride, a mental block in my head was obliterated. I've been staring at my computer for weeks in an attempt to come up with an entire branding package for a client. Websites are usually my forte and where I start. At least that's how I did it at my old job. I build the logo, slogan, and brand from there. but for my first potential client on my own, I was coming up short. After the sad, drunk girl most likely fell asleep since the texts were no longer coming in, I sat up all night designing Inigo Photog's website. Inigo. The name hadn't had any meaning to me until she quoted his character from the famed 80s movie. Of course it made perfect sense to build a theme around the Princess Bride movie. I worked through the night, and by dawn, I had something to send to the client. Finally. I'm just stretching and standing to seek out coffee when my phone buzzes. Buttercup. I am so sorry I texted you by mistake. I'll erase your number and you'll never hear from me or my terrible friend Tequila ever again. Of course I saved the sad stranger's name as Buttercup, the name of the heroine from the movie. I smirk at her text before sauntering out of my bedroom in the loft I share with my older brother, Roman. As soon as I exit my room, I smell coffee. Thank God. Me. Sounds like that asshole deserved it. Did you ever forward on those colorful insults, or were they for my privilege only? I'm grinning when I enter the kitchen.
Are you sick, Ram?
My brother's deep voice questions. I glance up to see him already dressed for the office. He dons a three-piece suit and a permanent scowl. At one time, he was my boss. That is, until his boss made him fire his own brother. Things haven't been exactly kosher lately. I'm fine. I grunt as I snag a mug from the cabinet. Why? He sips his coffee and his eyes narrow.
Well, for one, I haven't seen you roll out of bed before 8 and 4 months.
The reminder of how long I've been unemployed while desperately making a stab at being self-employed and relying on my brother to pick up my part of the rent stings. You know I can't sleep, I snap. Truth is, I've developed an annoying case of insomnia, again, ever since I was fired in such a humiliating way. I keep replaying how the CEO stood by with everyone in the company looking on as he waited for my brother to let me go, all over some stupid bullshit. My then-girlfriend at the time, Chelsea, even had the gall to look disgusted. It pisses me off that she didn't back me up.
Yeah, I hear your annoying chair creaking as you swivel back and forth all night. Most people sleep at night because they actually get into their bed. He grumbles and takes another sip.
I simply shrug as I pour some coffee into my mug and dump an unhealthy amount of sugar into it.
Do you want me to move out?
His gaze softens and he tugs at the knot on his tie. My brother, a stiff suit. I had attempted to follow in his footsteps, even accepted the marketing job at his company he worked at, but I was never good at working for the man. Where Roman has always been the rule follower, I've always been the one to color outside the lines.
You're not moving out, asshole,
he replies, a small smile tugging one corner of his lips.
I'm just shocked, is all. What's gotten you out of bed and looking more like my brother this morning? Did you land that client?
I see the hope in his eyes and it wounds me. Ever since I was let go, he's encouraged me to start my own marketing company, one where I'm the only employee. I liked the idea, but it's been harder than I thought. Companies are pretty loyal to the people they currently use, and convincing them to reevaluate their branding takes a lot of unpaid work on my end because I have to show them the potential. It's slow going, but the idea of working for myself is actually quite exciting. I was stuck on a design concept, but I finally worked through it. If I land an ego photog, that'll get me my start, I tell him, my voice low. He slaps my shoulder and grins.
Best news I've heard in a long time. Want to meet me for lunch today? We could go have some beer and wings at that tavern we used to always go to.
Again, another hopeful look in my older brother's eyes. I suppose I have been sort of a grumpy ass the past 4 months. My brother and I used to do everything together. After I was let go, I'd slipped into a depression. Again, where I slept all day and obsessed over my life's direction at night. It didn't leave much time for watching football with my brother like we used to, or occasional lunches where he'd hit on the waitresses, much to my amusement. Lunch sounds good. I agree. But I'm not coming up to the office. Meet me at the tavern?
A dark look passes over his features. I'd never ask you to go back there, not after what happened.
Relief floods through me and I tip my chin at him.
Speaking of, don't you need to get out of here?
His gaze darts to his watch and he groans.
Fuck, I'm going to be late.
As he passes me, he slaps my shoulder again.
Noon.
He flashes me a wide grin that reminds me of our deceased fathers.
Glad to have you back, man.
After Roman leaves, I settle back at my desk with a fresh cup of coffee. My mind is buzzing with ideas for this branding package. It's the best I've felt about a design since before the big spectacle. Anger ripples through me. They never even investigated, never even gave me a chance to explain that I'd received the email from Chelsea, daughter of the CEO James Tucker, and my then-girlfriend. That it was a virus. At least I'd hoped. Surely she wouldn't send that shit to me on purpose. But I can't forget the look of contempt in her eyes. My uptight Chelsea no longer looked at me like I was her shiny new toy. The spoiled brat clearly got tired of me and discarded me as if I were nothing. And by discarded, I mean sent me a goddamned kiddie porn virus. I shudder from the humiliation of opening that attachment, how it alerted our IT department and blasted from the speakers on my computer at my cubicle, how my brother's normally cool face was screwed up and red with horror. Sure, he knew I wasn't capable of being some sicko, but with his own job on the line, he fired me. That shit stings. The only reason I didn't have the police knocking at my door was because the IT department finally ascertained it was the only dirty thing on my computer, after a careful scrub down of my hard drive. They stood by their reason to end my employment, but they never involved the police. I spend many sleepless nights wondering if Chelsea sent it to me on purpose. For 4 months, I've obsessed over it. Now I'm over it. I'm tired of letting Tucker Advertising control my life. They lost that control the moment my brother handed me the box to pack my shit. A buzz comes from my phone and I smile, wondering if it's Buttercup. When I swipe the screen, I grin. Buttercup. He truly is a horrible human being, but he didn't deserve those insults. And you didn't deserve them by accident. Again, forgive me. For a guy who hasn't smiled in a while, I've done a lot of that in the past 6 hours or so. All from a stranger's text that weren't even for me. Me. I'll forgive you if you tell me your name, Buttercup. The three dots on my screen move as she replies. Buttercup.
I don't give my name out to strangers.
I snort. Me. But you give them verbal lashings instead? You at least owe me your name. It only takes her a moment to respond. Buttercup.
Tell me yours first, please.
Please. I smirk. She sounds cute. I shake my head because for all I know, she could be a he. Me. Ram. This time her response is immediate. Buttercup.
Like a goat with horns?
Me. Like I haven't heard that one before. Bad joke, Buttercup. While I await her response, I open up Photoshop and begin working on the logo for Inigo. I'm so sucked into my design that I miss her next couple of responses. Buttercup.
Why do you call me Buttercup? I'm sorry if I offended you. That's not really your name. OMG, I've offended you twice in the past 9 hours.
I jolt up and check the clock. I'm supposed to meet Roman in an hour. I haven't showered or anything, but the logo looks badass. I found my groove again, thank fuck. Me. You accused me of killing your father. Would you prefer I call you Inigo? I mean, I still haven't established if you're a chick or a dude. Buttercup.
The Princess Bride. I'm surprised you caught that.
I grin as I respond. Me. At least I know we're from the same generation. At least I hope you are. Me.
Tell me you're at least 18.
The very thought of texting with a teenager after my kiddie porn mishap makes me shudder. Buttercup.
25. Please tell me you're at least under 40.
I laugh as I type. Me. 30. Was your dickhead ex an old geezer? Also, you never told me your sex. Quickly, I hop in the shower. I don't have time to shave off my scruff, but I'm kinda liking it now. After working at Tucker Advertising and dealing with their shitty dress code for 3 years, I'm enjoying the non-robot look. I brush my teeth in warp speed and style my hair in a messy way before throwing on a pair of holy jeans and a white clash t-shirt. I frown when I realize it's gotten smaller. And no, I haven't turned into a fat ass. Opposite, actually. When you can't sleep at night, sometimes lifting weights is the only thing to keep a person sane. I'll need to buy some new shit if I continue to get more built. I grab my leather jacket and stuff my feet into my combat boots before heading out the door, while I walk to the parking lot where my old Mustang is. I check to see if Buttercup has responded. Buttercup.
I'm a girl. I mean, a woman. Gah. I'm not good with people, clearly. Sorry, Mr. Stranger, Ram. I've already creeped on this little conversation too much. Hope you have a nice life.
I stop just as I get to my car that my dad and I rebuilt before he passed away 10 years ago. Me. Glad to know you're a woman, and newly single from my observation. You don't get off that easy. Unless you want to. Winky face. What's your name? The three dots are immediate, like she was waiting for my text. The thought warms me. Buttercup.
Carrie.
Me. Like Stephen King's, the one covered in pig's blood? Buttercup.
No, like Underwood.
Me. Can't say I've ever heard of her. Perhaps you should send me a picture of yourself? I climb into the car and turn over the engine. The loud rumble is my favorite part of this car. Every time I get in, though, I think of Dad. My chest aches a bit, and I absolutely rub my fist over it. Buttercup.
Fat chance, mister. How do I know you aren't some creepy stalker who is going to do nasty things with my picture?
I laugh out loud before firing off my response. Me. Define nasty. Feeling brave, I take a selfie but crop off my head. Me. If it makes you feel any better, you can do nasty things with my picture. Again, define nasty. I don't wait for a response because I'll be late to meet Roman if I don't leave now. The entire drive, I can't help but feel excitement bubbling just below the surface. I hadn't realized just how depressed I was until the fog seemed to lift a bit. I'm not sure if I've even left the house in weeks. Roman's concern had become permanently etched in his furrowed brow, and Mom called more than I could handle. Hell, he even roped in our little sister Reagan, who's in college in California. They were coming at me on all fronts. The person to pull me out of the haze, though, was an absolute stranger with her random quote from The Princess Bride. When I pull up in front of the tavern and park in one of the open spaces, I look back at my phone. Buttercup.
You're a bad billy goat. OMG, I offended you again. I was just teasing. I'm so sorry.
I shake my head and fire off another text. Me. I'm not the old cheating geezer. It takes a lot more than a cheesy joke to hurt my feelings. What does wound me is the fact you feel you need to apologize for everything. You don't know me, and yet you're worried about upsetting me. Who are you, Buttercup? Three dots moving. Buttercup.
I'm a mess, and I actually just apologized again. You should be proud, though, because I deleted it. I'm not sorry. There.
I grin because I can almost imagine her triumphant smile. Buttercup.
Is that really your picture, or are you catfishing me?
Snorting, I reply. Me. It's me, and now I'm sitting in a parking spot waiting to meet someone for lunch, yet here I am texting with you, even though I don't know who you are. She responds almost immediately. Buttercup.
I don't do cheaters. Does she know you're texting with a stranger? Does she know you're wanting to do nasty things with my picture? Huh, asshole? Huh?
I get out of my car and stride over to the front door where my brother is waiting. Before he can argue, I snap another selfie. This time of the two of us. Again, I crop out our heads. Me. Well, she's a he, so there's that. And he's my brother, so there's that, too. My brother gives me a quizzical look before holding the door open for me. We pile into our favorite booth inside while I wait for her to reply. Buttercup.
OMG, I'm so sorry. Dang! Well, at least you know why he cheated on me. Sad face.
At her last text, anger surges through me. Me.
He cheated because he's a dick.
Roman's brows are lifted as he watches me text my new friend. When she replies, I return my attention to my phone. Buttercup.
I need to get back to work. Can we pick back up on this later? You know, so I can formally apologize for being rude. Again.
I scratch at the stubble on my jaw and smile. Me. As you wish.
Chapter 3. Danny. Oops, I did it again. Please stop laughing. That's me with my hands covering my face while Andy is practically rolling on the floor laughing at my embarrassing expense. Girl, I can't. It's just that... She buckles over again in a fit of giggles. And Carrie? Really? I know I said I wouldn't hurt a fly, but I'm about to tackle my best friend to the ground. I panicked. I didn't want to give him my real name. What if he's like some psychopath? She snorts. I doubt that. If he was able to replay lines from The Princess Bride, I'm guessing he's more like some nerd who sits at home reading his comic books. Well, what's wrong with that? That means he has a hobby, I argue. Andy rolls her eyes, mouthing ew, while she counts her drawer. She has been having a great laugh at my expense ever since I walked into the bank for work. I can't say I have ever been so drunk in my life. Ashamed that I could barely remember how I got home or who undressed me, which was no one since I woke up in my clothes from the previous night. I also woke up to a long text message thread with a complete stranger. I can suck great dick. Really, Daniel? Mortified was putting it lightly on how I felt as I read through them. Those crude messages were not me. I barely swear. I never swear, but in one night I decided to start drinking and go all out, bringing out this person I never knew existed. I was so embarrassed that after an hour of pacing my small apartment, I texted the stranger back, telling him I was sorry. Surprisingly, he texted me right back. And with each message, I found myself less embarrassed and more intrigued about who he was. He had just received some pretty insane messages from a stranger, but here he was texting back like we were old friends, bantering over a secret joke. And the fact that he got my The Princess Bride comment made me strangely elated, being that it was one of my favorite movies. Daryl probably couldn't even tell me my middle name, let alone could he be bothered to care about my interests. But in this complete stranger, I found something in common. Throughout the morning while getting ready for work, we messaged back and forth. His replies all made me smile, and as I tried to match his humor, I kept falling short. Each time I tried to make a funny, the messages would stop and I would panic, pacing my room while smacking my head, telling myself I did it again. I was making a complete fool out of myself. But when he had to go asking for names, I freaked. I said my name was Carrie. Why? I have no idea. It could have been that Carrie Underwood was playing softly on the television while I made my breakfast, but I'm not sure why it wasn't my real name that came out. Maybe because I was enjoying the banter with this complete stranger, and it felt a bit liberating to talk to someone who wasn't already judging me. He had no idea that I was just a mousy little thing, no backbone, no great story, and definitely no modeling gigs lined up. I was simple, boring. Andy called me the cutest little pushover she'd ever met. There is just something to be said about getting to talk freely to a complete stranger without having to out your real self, and I was kind of enjoying my new friend. Ram. Strange name. At first I thought he was lying to me. Maybe that's why I spit out Carrie instead of Danielle, or Danny as my close friends call me. Okay, so I'm a super shy loner with one close friend, Andy. Well, her full name is Andrea. When we were kids, a group of mean girls used to pick on me. I have always been small and mousy. My boobs didn't come in until way past the acceptable age for horny teenage boys, and I just didn't have that high school luster like most girls had. I also dressed like a boy, thanks to my mom and her church-going ways. The girls would always tease me, calling me Danny Boy, poking fun. I, of course, did nothing because I was shy. But Andrea stuck up for me, swapping out one girl's shampoo for glue in gym class, and snuck chocolate laxatives in another's purse during lunch. But what she did that told me she was truly my friend was that she shortened her name to Andy, so she too would have a boy's name. She told me I had to overcome them, to be better than them, embrace the name, and fuck 'em, her words. So we did. We've been at work for only an hour, and I'm itching to check my phone. I wonder if he's done with his lunch, if he's texted me back. I don't know why he would. I'm just technically a wrong number to him. But that picture, I wish he would have included his face. The curiosity of what he looks like eats at me while I help each customer who walks into the bank. Hey, Danny. I turn to see Frank, another bank teller, standing next to me with that look. An expectant one. One that tells me he's about to ask a favor. Hey, Frank, I answer in a curt tone. How are you today? How's Millie? Oh, she's fine, Thanks again for taking her to the vet for me. Really helped. I sure hope it did, since I also ended up picking up his vet bill, and I'm still waiting for him to pay me back. So I have a big favor. I have a date tonight, and I really need to get off early. You would be a lifesaver if you could pick up my last 2 hours tonight. 2 hours? I've been here all day, and I picked up his late shift last week as well. I was hoping to go home and organize my finances since I need to figure out how I'm going to replenish my bank account. I want to say no, but I don't know how. I would feel bad if he couldn't go on his date. Sure. Before I can finish, I yelp because someone kicks me in the side of my ankle. I turn to see Andy giving me the crazy eye. What did you do that for? I hiss, rubbing my ankle where I know she's just left a bruise. Backbone girl? I shake my head at her and then turn back to Frank. That would be Again, she kicks me. I turn and grumble. Stop, please. Back to Frank. She would not like to pick up your extra hours, Frank. Andy interrupts. And I'm sure your Tinder date will wait until you get off work. Trust me, the darker it is out for her, the better. My jaw drops at her rude comment. Frank doesn't say anything more. He gives Andy a nasty look and walks back to where he came from. Why did you do that? I huff, still nursing my ankle. That was extremely rude. Because it was extremely rude of him to take advantage of you like that? He does it every week, and he knows you'll say yes. He's a total douche and doesn't deserve your kindness. Half of America doesn't deserve it. That's why you need to stop handing it out like it's free. But isn't kindness kind of free? Danny, stop, she says softly at the confused look I'm giving her. You know what I mean. You need to stop letting people walk all over you. Say no to people. Say yes when it's deserved. She shuts her drawer and comes into my teller space. Listen, we are on a mission to toughen you up. I look at her quizzically. I'm not sure there's hope to get me muscles. I weigh a whopping 125 sopping wet. I really don't want to work out, Andy, I tell her. A big sigh leaves her lips as she brings her hands to my shoulders. Danny, listen. You are too nice, and one day it's going to take a toll. You'll have had enough and snap, and not in a good way. I'm talking like Britney Spears' 2006 snap, and I will be the first person to tell you you will not look good bald. You need to grow a backbone. How does one grow a backbone? I thought we were born with them. Andy starts shaking me. Earth to Danny, it's just an expression. You need to say no to people, like Frank and all his stupid favors. Like Janice, who sweet-talked you into trading sandwiches with her at lunch last week. Like the customer who convinced you to keep your register open after closing because he was late. Just say no. But I'm not- No. Yeah, but no! I get it, but just say no. I swear, you're like a walking anti-drug commercial. Darn it. I am like a just say no ad. I straighten my shoulders and arch my back. Taking in a deep breath, I say, Fine, try me. Ask me something. Her eyes light up. Hey, Danny, can you take my whole week's worth of shifts? My vagina flared up again, and I need to soak it in Vagisil. A smile breaches my lips, but I keep a straight face. No, Andy, I will not. She nods in approval. Good job. Okay, but will you come over and cook me dinner, then do my laundry, then pay my cable bill? No, I will not, I repeat, feeling empowered by this new word. Andy smiles, patting me on the back. Good work. She turns to close out her register. But hey, do you mind counting my drawers so I can ditch out of here early? Sure, no! I jump along with a few customers and Bill, the customer service manager, as her answer echoes throughout the bank. The answer is no, Danny. No, no, no. Darn it, she tricked me. A total setup. No matter who asks, she tells me firmly, even me, the answer is no. Andy spent the rest of our workday throwing questions at me, and I was on alert with every question. I said no to every single one, even the one where she asked me who kept texting me. No, you can actually answer this one. Who's texting you? Your phone keeps lighting up. I fumble for my phone, nearly dropping it in the process, as I yank it up from the counter. I look at my screen to see not one, but three text messages from Ram. I had a hot dog for lunch. Thought about you and that mouth you talked up. Okay, I was joking. That was kind of a dick thing to say. No pun in the dick comment either. Shit, sorry. Look, now I'm the one apologizing. I laugh at his last message.
What's so funny? Let me see.
Andy grabs for my phone, but I pull back. She gives me her crazy look and puts her hands on her hips.
Show me, or I'll start telling everyone you're messing around with Frank.
My lips purse at the gross thought of doing anything with Frank. She sees it and smiles, knowing she won. I show her my phone, and she reads my latest text.
Damn, potty mouth. He's still texting you?
Yeah, I guess. I blush, feeling embarrassed at the excitement this complete stranger creates in me.
Well, hell, I mean, I would probably keep texting you, too, if you admitted you had great tits and suck a mean knob.
I smack her in the shoulder as she busts out laughing. As she's still holding my phone, another text comes through.
Oh my, you have a chatty Kathy on your hands, she says as she hands my phone back.
Okay, now I feel like a jerk. I really didn't mean it like that. I'm not like that. Rude, I mean. I'm actually a really nice guy. Now I'm babbling and you may have already blocked this number. I'll stop now. Nice knowing you, Buttercup.
I read the message and grin. Ew, are you smiling at your phone?
I raise my head.
What? You. You're smiling, like someone just complimented your troll collection. Do you, like this guy or something?
No, I don't even know him.
He's just... Whatever, liar. You're giving your phone the googly eyes. Dude, no way. This is called rebound. Or wait, maybe we can...
I can see the wheels turning.
Okay, respond back to him. He is going to be our guinea pig.
Guinea pig? And how exactly is he going to be our guinea pig?
Simple. You're going to boss him around. Be blunt. Practice your backbone.
She must see that I'm not following because she snatches my phone and starts typing off a reply message.
Me. Prove it.
Prove it? What's that supposed to mean?
Well, he said he's not usually rude. Have him prove it. We want him growling in hunger for you, got it?
I highly doubt anyone is growling over me. The ding comes back through and we both throw our eyes to my phone.
Ram.
I tipped the waitress extra today because she told me her son needed money for his book fair.
I aw at his message while Andy does a huge pfft.
Then she starts jamming on my phone.
Me. Sounds like something any normal Joe would do. Does that mean you wouldn't normally donate money to a cause? Are you some sort of money hogger?
What is that supposed to mean? I gave it her message.
It'll allow us to figure out what he does. Make sure he's not a loser like Daryl.
Another message flows through.
Ram.
I am a successful businessman, yes, and I donate money all the time. I actually gave her a $100 tip. It was important to me that her son gets those books.
You just did it again.
I look up, my cheeks heaving.
Did what? Googly-eyed your phone.
Oops. I totally just did it again.
Chapter 4. Ram. Define nasty. I'm an asshole. I stare down at my phone and groan. Did I really just brag about something I didn't do to a person I don't know? I've sunk to a new low. Lying. Scrubbing my palm up and down over my scruffy cheek, I let out a sigh. I'm flat broke until Inigo Photog signs a contract with me. So it was my brother who bought lunch. It was Roman who flirted with the waitress. It was Roman who left an over-the-top tip because he also left his card. He wasn't paying for some kid's books. My brother was attempting to get the pretty blonde waitress in the sack. I settle in my desk chair and fire off an email to Victor Masters, Inigo's owner, after attaching some of my design concepts for the logo and branding along with the mock-up for the website. Roman, over lunch, suggested I hit up some of Tucker Advertising's old clients who no longer use them, the ones I had a good relationship with in the past. While I wait for Carrie to respond to my stupid text, I message a few potential clients. Eventually, she responds.
Buttercup.
Sorry, I got a customer and then another. We got slammed. Sounds like you're a generous guy. So what exactly is it you do anyway? You mentioned you were a businessman.
Grumbling, I let my fingers hover over the screen. Do I lie again? Will she keep talking to me if she knows I'm technically unemployed? She's just a stranger. And even though I keep telling myself that, the guilt remains. Me. I'm a marketing manager over the account execs at an ad firm. What do you do? Fuck. I've once again told her I was my brother. Buttercup.
I'm a bartender.
I wish I knew what she looked like so I could imagine her slinging drinks around at the bar. Would she wear cute little black shorts that showed off her toned legs? Would she lean over the bar counter to pass the drinks and show off her cleavage? My cock decides it likes this fantasy of Buttercup the bartender. I haven't been laid since the night before I got fired. Chelsea came over, and I now realize that was a goodbye fuck. There was no cuddling after. She even made sure to grab a few things she'd left in my room, claiming she needed to get them dry cleaned. Me. Which bar? I'd love to come see you one day. Her response is quick. Buttercup.
I don't know you, so I better not tell.
I roll my eyes. Me. We could know each other. In fact, I go into my contacts and dial her number. I'm not sure why I didn't consider calling her until this moment. It rings and rings, but she doesn't pick up. Maybe her voicemail will confirm that her name is Carrie, too. I'm mildly annoyed she isn't answering because I know her phone is in her hand. Eventually, a soft, sultry voice recording plays in my ear.
Hey,
she says, pausing as if to consider what to say next.
It's me. You know what to do.
Another pause.
Just leave a message after the beep. Wait, do cell phones even beep?
A woman laughs in the background, causing Carrie to growl. It's an adorable sound, like a kitten trying to sound like a mountain lion.
Just leave your message. Bye.
It's by far the cutest voicemail greeting I've ever heard. My smile is immediate. I'm not sure why you're avoiding picking up, but at least I've confirmed you're a chick, I say with a chuckle. I've also confirmed you have a nice voice. Would it make me a creepy stalker if I called again just to hear it? I grunt. Yeah, so it would. Anyway, I just wanted to say hi, like actually say it, so you could know I'm normal, too. Although there's nothing probably normal about this phone call. I pause and roll my eyes at myself. I'm a fucking idiot. She'll probably take one listen and move on. The mystery was better. I should have just kept letting her think I was a badass. I'm glad you texted me by mistake, I utter. It's been the most fun I've had in 4 months. Another pause as I clench my eyes closed. I'm sorry I called, this was out of line, but I'm not sorry I got to hear your voice. Enjoy your day, Buttercup. I hang up and abandon my phone. With a huff of frustration, I peel away my shirt and go on a hunt for some gym shorts. I'll lift some weights to clear my head. Calling her unexpectedly was a dick move. If I were her, I'd block my number and move the fuck on. Once I've dressed in a pair of shorts and thrown on some tennis shoes, I bypass a shirt and stand in front of my long bedroom mirror. Roman and I are similar in the looks department, down to our size and height. We even share the same pale brown eyes that our sister Reagan is jealous of. It's our mannerisms that are different. Roman is more scowly. Typically, I'm more smiley. He keeps his hair shorter and styled in a neat, professional way. Mine is longer and unruly, styled more in a just-fucked kind of way. The biggest difference is our chests. My brother is a weirdo about tattoos. Mom's warning somehow sticks in his head.
Get a tattoo and I'll disown you.
I smirk thinking about the time when I turned 18 and I showed my mom my first tattoo. That woman beat me upside the head with the romance novel she was reading, but she didn't disown me, and I continued to get them until my solid chest was nothing but a canvas of colorful art. I'd been dying to get a sleeve next, but my brother lectured me for a week about how unprofessional that was. I'm still undecided. The longer I remain unemployed, the more tempted I am to say, fuck professionalism, and do what I want. Flexing my chest, I wonder if Carrie would be impressed by my tats. I'm almost considering taking a selfie of them to show her, but wisely steer myself out of my bedroom toward the room we use as a gym. Sending her an unrequested naked chest picture is almost as bad as an unwanted dick pic. I've definitely reached an all-time low. I need to lift and clear my head. This stranger is scrambling my brain.
After a shower, I make my way back to my room in nothing but a towel. I'm dreading reading her response to my phone call. I missed many, and I can only imagine what they'll say. Biting the bullet, I snatch up my phone and lie down on my bed. My towel pulls open and my dick flops out. I need to just go out with Roman and pick up some chick for the night, because I'm long overdue for some pussy, and my mind has seemed to latch onto this stranger. I close my eyes and think about her voice. So sweet and soft. Apologetic. Just hearing how nice she seemed pisses me off. Her ex sounds like an asshole to let someone like her go. Hell, I've barely been talking to her for 2 days, and I can already tell she's interesting, quirky, and cute. And I'm dying to know her better. I pop my eyes open and force myself to read her response. Buttercup.
You called me. OMG. I like your voice, too. You don't have to feel bad about calling me. I just couldn't take your call at work. Are you hiding from me now? Come back. OMG, that sounded so desperate. I was being playful. OMG, texting doesn't show jokes very well. Crap. I'm serious, though. Why'd you leave? Your voice sounds fucking hot. I'd ride that mouth all the way into tomorrow.
I snort at that response.
OMG, that bitch stole my phone. I didn't type that. Kill me now.
And then no more texts. But I'm smiling rather than scowling now. My dick is also hard and in my hand. Jesus, what is this stranger doing to me? Me. Send me a picture so I know you're a woman. Please. My fist goes up and down around my rigid cock. I close my eyes, wondering what she looks like. While I can't figure her face out, I imagine her being kind of shy. A cute smile that she hides sometimes. Her cheeks turning pink when I whisper naughty things into her ear. The phone buzzes and my eyes bug at the response. Buttercup. Photo attached. I swipe it open to look at the picture. As soon as I see it, I start laughing so hard. She took a picture of her hand. A thumbs up. It's so fucking corny, but I can't stop chuckling. I scan the picture for clues, and I can tell she's at the bank now. Zooming in, I smile when I see the bank name on a pen. We bank at the same place. Small world. At least I know she lives in town. Me. That's a sexy thumbs up. You don't want to see my thumbs up right now. I smirk, knowing my thumb is around my aching cock. Buttercup.
Show me.
My eyes close as I fist myself harder. I'd love nothing more than to show her what I'm doing. All it would take was one picture, but I'm not a freak. Well, she doesn't know that, at least. I reopen my eyes and respond. Me. My hand is a little busy. Winky face. While I wait for her to respond, I stroke my cock as I stare at her delicate hand. A dainty bracelet hangs from her thin wrist, and her thumbnail is painted navy blue. One side has chipped off. Her hand would barely wrap around my dick, and that thought has me grunting out my release all over my belly. Buttercup.
You are doing nasty things with my picture.
I grin as I clean myself up with my towel. Me. Define nasty. Buttercup.
Did you? OMG, how do I say this without sounding stupid? Whack off?
Snorting, I sit up and locate a pair of sweatpants. I slide them on without underwear and lie back down on the bed. Me. Men aren't as strong as women. They see something beautiful that turns them on and they take action. The three dots on her end move as she types. Buttercup.
You're so bold, Ram. I would never do something like that.
I frown and run my fingers through my wet hair. Me. You're hiding behind a screen. I don't know you. You don't know me. It's easy to feel brave that way. Maybe next time you'll send me more than your hand. She responds immediately. Buttercup.
Maybe next time you'll send more than your t-shirt.
At this, I laugh. Me. So someone is a lot braver behind text. And fine, don't say I never gave you anything. I take a selfie of my chest, making sure to crop out my face again. When I look at the picture, you can see part of my mouth that's quirked up into a half smirk. I decide I'll give her that too. I hit send before I change my mind. She doesn't respond, and I'm distracted when my brother knocks on my door. I didn't realize it was after 5 already. Come in, I holler. He pushes through the door wearing a tired expression. Tucker Advertising has been sucking the life out of him for so long. I wish he'd just leave that fucking place already. When I'd gotten canned, I'd half expected him to follow not far behind.
He didn't, and I'm a little frustrated that he chose his career over his own blood. Let's go out tonight. We'll go bar hopping. I've had a rough day.